While some aspects of Indigenous culture have been lost over the years, Indigenous art has thrived as an expression of storytelling, tradition, and an economic opportunity. But by some estimates, as much as 80% of the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander art and crafts sold across Australia are fake. A parliamentary committee examining the issue has been travelling across Australia, hearing from artists and industry groups in a bid to find a solution. Liberal MP Anne Sidmalis is the committee chair. Welcome to RN Drive.
G'day, how are you?
Good. The Arts Law Centre estimates that 80% of Indigenous arts and crafts sold are fake. That's so huge. It's actually a staggering figure. What sense are you getting of the scale of the problem?
Look, it is much greater than anyone could even imagine. And I'm sure most of us who go overseas go into the local tourism shops and purchase some item to gift to somebody else, being completely ignorant of the fact that it may not be a licensed product, it may not have been created in Australia, and there's no return back to the Indigenous people whose style it actually is. It's not just their livelihood is being taken, it's that their art and craft is not just a design on a seed or a design on a piece of canvas. It's actually a reflection of something from their location or something from their storylines. So it's a much more complex issue than just stealing a design element.
Well, it's cultural appropriation, right?
Well, yeah, and it's their, it's a piece of them. It's a piece of their collective themism, if you can use that weird word. And that's one of the difficulties that we face, that some of the artworks are collective artworks. So, of course, the copyright laws, as they currently stand, are not appropriate to be used. And so they come up against a bit of problem with that as well.
So where is the majority of this fake Indigenous art coming from in terms of overseas markets?
Different overseas markets, Malaysia, Indonesia. Interestingly, we found out from the Australian Competition and Consumer Organisation that if there are fake Indigenous artworks in amongst properly licensed or produced Indigenous artworks, it is giving the impression to the consumer that they are buying fair-dinkum artworks. And there is actually already legislation in place where they can be charged.
So if it is the case that there are laws in place to make, you know, this essentially illegal, is it an issue also of policing and resourcing, in your view, that these laws are just basically not being executed and upheld?
Look, the Indigenous artists themselves were not even aware of this particular piece of legislation. So it's now time to put that forward as a recommendation for the future. There may be funding implications and we'll need to pursue that at a later date, but that's not in the mainstay of the terms of reference of the committee. You don't look at the financial implications that comes in. When we present the recommendations to the minister, his department then needs to look at which recommendations can be put through, how they would be put through, and what costing implications they have.
How do you define authentic in this context? If a design reflects a particular Indigenous nation, does it need to have been made by someone from that nation to be authentic?
Well, in their cultural belief, yes. Either it has to be acknowledged as part of their songlines and their history and their culture. There needs to be a royalty to go along with that. There has to be all the proper contractual agreements going with that, or it's being done under licence. So apparently there's a group of Armenian weavers who weave under licence for some of our Indigenous populations, because weaving is not a tradition that we have here, but it's a very saleable item and there's good returns to our cultural groups, and that's fine. It's a good, honest-to-goodness, well-controlled contractual agreement. So I find it fascinating when you pick up an item in a tourist shop that said, this product is licensed and made in Australia. And you say, well, to whom is it licensed? And how much of this is going back to them? And yet there are others where you pick up the item and it says, such and such an artist was the designer of this. It's made under license and proceeds go back to such and such a mob. And it's much more apparent that there is a recognition that this is a cultural, and you can't take ownership because that is not how they feel about it themselves. It is part of them, not just owned by them.
So when you talk about this logo, this made in Australia, or a logo that says perhaps that it's in, you know, Indigenous and authentic, is that a proposal you'd support? I mean, does that make much of a difference?
Well, there is a proposal for some art products where the Indigenous Art Code brought up a symbol some years ago, but because there was no budget to put that out to market and also to really push it in the marketplace, it wasn't greatly taken up. So, and there is some resistance in some areas which say, well, why should we be the ones to have to put a logo on our work? Just get rid of the stuff that isn't real. So there will be a very interesting pathway and journey through this. And the
Well, look, I've got to pick you up on that. What is your take on that? Is that a legitimate critique? Is it, you know, the job of politicians to legislate strong laws to get rid of this fake art?
Look, that could be one of the recommendations, but when we spoke to border security, they said, how are you going to stop it coming in when it's not that easily identified, when some products are being done under licence and some are not? So that's a possible pathway. The other possible pathway is to talk to the Indigenous art community centres and artists themselves and say, if we did this and it was marketed correctly, would this work for you? In as much as the Australian Made logo happened many years ago, 3 decades ago, it really didn't have much marketing presence. Now it's a very sought-after logo to have on your product for export sale. So you must look at it properly and invest properly in order to make it work, whether that's legislative or whether it's budgetary allocation in order to make sure it's marketed correctly. That will be a possible recommendation that comes through. Because one of the presenters said that when they went to New Zealand, you get to the airport and you are completely surrounded by Maori culture.
Yes.
So that you know that that culture belongs to that nation. It's not the case when you arrive in Australia. And that could also be another aspect of teaching community that things are, there's something very special about Australian Indigenous art and craft, and we need to acknowledge that.
Would you like to see our airports reflect that culture, and is it the role of the committee to recommend something along those lines?
I wouldn't be surprised if there is a recommendation along those lines, because a lot of the committee members feel the same way. And I think I have travelled in the past a lot, and I think it would be really special to be welcomed by that sort of impact from our nation, from the very first Australians, to talk a little about who we are, what we are, because whilst the rest of us are all immigrants, we can still acknowledge and understand and honour the culture that's been there for many, many thousands of years.
Anne, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for sharing the message.
Liberal MP Anne Sidmalis is the chair of the Parliamentary Committee examining the growing presence of fake Indigenous arts and crafts. Are you concerned about this issue? 0418 226 576. I've got to be honest, I find it incredibly difficult to navigate. In fact, I was on holidays thinking about, you know, a particular piece of art I saw, and I made a decision that I just wasn't sure of its authenticity. And if the money isn't going to an Indigenous artist, then, and it's an Indigenous piece of art, then there are concerns from so many people about what they're buying. 0418 226 576.